and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. The portion of Scripture for our meditation this morning is recorded for us in the book of Acts, chapter 12, beginning with the first verse. This is our first lesson for today, this third Sunday of Easter. Dear friends in our resurrected Savior, what makes someone courageous? What does it take to have courage? Now, some people say that you have to be born with that. You have to be born with courage. When you think of courage and the most people who are courageous day after day, you might think of those in the military or police officers or firefighters. Well, what do those people, those professions, have in common? Well, they put their life on the line for others. They're selfless. They risk their own lives for the sake of the lives of other people. Today, we talk about a different aspect of courage, and a courage that is given to us, worked in us by the courage of Jesus, who suffered and died, willingly going to his death so that we might live. Yes, his resurrection from the dead gives courage instead of fear. Because he rose from the dead and now lives, we can be calm in the face of danger, and we don't have to be afraid of the future. Go back for a second. I want you to go back before Easter to late Monday, Thursday night, early Good Friday morning, the night in which Jesus was arrested. When he was arrested, Peter and John followed Jesus at a distance. John got Peter into the courtyard of the high priest under which Jesus was facing trial. But soon people began to notice Peter, to recognize Peter. You were with him, they said. Soon, Peter's northern accent gave him away as a Galilean, the area from which Jesus came. You are one of his disciples. You were his followers, they said. He began to deny, to lie to them. Three times he denied knowing the Lord. He even called curses down upon them, swore an oath that he did not know Jesus, did not even know who the person was they were talking about. Three times. Why? Because he was afraid. He was afraid about what others might think of him. He was afraid that maybe he would be arrested like Jesus was, or maybe even worse, put to death. Doubted God's care and protection, and denied the lie that he even knew Jesus. What about you? What are you afraid of? Now, you may be afraid of what the future holds. You may be afraid of sickness and disease, maybe death and dying. You might be afraid of hard economic times or what have you. We're often afraid of the same thing as Peter. Afraid of what other people might think about us or what people might do to us because of our Christian faith. And now they say, why do you waste your time going to church? Why do you waste all your money giving it to the church? How foolish you are. We don't want to be made fun of. No one likes to be mocked or ridiculed, so we downplay our faith. We don't make it a big deal in our lives. We don't want people to know just how of a big deal Christ is to us, so we downplay our faith. We don't talk about it too much, just so we can not be made fun of as much. Or they say, you know, according to the Bible, you can't sleep with someone you're not married to. You're not supposed to get drunk. You're not supposed to talk bad about anybody else. What fun is that? What fun can you have? That's not... Why would you want to do that? And we do want to fit in. We do want to be just like everybody else, and so we act like them. We try to fit in. We We act like them. We do what the world does. We behave like the world during the week, and then we come to church on Sundays and pretend everything is okay. Or let's say, does your church really not allow women to vote? Well, that's sexist. Or how can your church be so unloving? Isn't it someone's own prerogative who they fall in love with? Or do you really deny everything that science says and say that God created the world in 6 years, about 6,000 years ago? They come and attack us based on these, oh, social issues, I guess you might say, and we back up, we backtrack and say, you know what, that might be what the church teaches, or that might be what the Bible teaches, but I don't really understood it, I never understood it, or I've never really gone along with it. When we get attacked, when people mock us, when they ridicule us, we are afraid of what they might do or say about us, and we often back down. We deny the truth. We lie about what we believe. We often back up, back down, afraid, just like Peter was that night that Jesus was arrested. Fast forward now, about 10 years or so, to our text for today. Look at Peter now. Arrested by Herod, who had just put James, a fellow disciple, a fellow apostle, to death. Bound, guarded by 16, if I can do math, 16 soldiers. At this particular night, he was bound in chains with soldiers on two sides, with more soldiers guarding the doors to the prison. And that night, the night before he was going to face trial and most likely be put to death, Peter is not pleading his case. He's not defending himself. He's not denying the Lord. He's calm. He's collected. He even fell asleep the night before his likely death. Why the change? How could Peter change? He was in a much graver situation on this day. He faced death than he was the night Jesus was arrested. How did Peter change? Because of his resurrected Savior. Jesus' resurrection from the dead meant that he was Lord of all. It meant that he is God, the everlasting Savior. It means that our sins have been forgiven and paid for by Christ's suffering and death on the cross, and eternal life in heaven awaits. And Peter realized, just as the Lord had control over death, he has control over everything in the world. Control of all of history. And so even in the face of death, even in the face of persecution, Peter was calm. And it wasn't just in our text for today. No, we see right away, after the resurrection, that Jesus was confident, that Peter was confident, that Peter had courage. Now it was 50 days on Pentecost, 50 days after his resurrection, that Peter stood up in the temple and told the Jews that they had put Jesus to death. And this Jesus they had crucified is both Lord and the Christ, the promised Messiah. It wasn't long after that Peter and John gave a crippled man the ability to walk. And then in the sermon that followed again in the temple, Peter preached that same message, which led to his arrest. And then Peter and John stood before the Sanhedrin, the very body that sentenced Jesus to death, including the high priest. And they boldly and confidently and courageously stood up for the truth and confessed Christ. He said, "It is by the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom you crucified, but whom God raised from the dead, that this man stands before you healed. He is the stone the builders rejected, which has become a capstone. Salvation is found in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven given to men by which we must be saved." Jesus' resurrection from the dead removed the doubts of Peter, gave him courage in the place of fear. And what did God do in our text for today? Well, he rescued Peter. He saved Peter. God sent his angel down to earth who woke Peter up. The chains fell off his wrists. The guards had no idea what was going on. They walked right past the guards. When they went to the gate opened for them. In the morning when they woke up, the soldiers were confused, undoubtedly accusing each other of letting Peter escape. And the next day, remember what was supposed to happen. Peter was supposed to stand in front of the Jews. It was likely he was going to be put to death just like James. And God miraculously saved him. This time, God chose to save Peter. But he didn't always choose to save his people. Remember, Stephen, by this time, was the first Christian martyr who was stoned to death for preaching Christ. We already talked about James, his fellow apostle, the first apostle to be put to death, beheaded by Herod. Church tradition tells us that about 25 years after our text, Peter was put to death by the Emperor Nero in 68 AD. This time, God chose to save his child. But not every time. And the same will be the case for us. At times, God chooses to save his people from whatever earthly peril that may threaten them, that they may be afraid of. At times, he doesn't. When you face death or persecution, when people make fun of you or mock you and ridicule, when you have financial problems or sicknesses or disease, God may choose to rescue you, just as he rescued Peter. Or he may not, just as he chose not to rescue Stephen or James. We don't know. But what we do know is that what is true that Paul says in Romans 8. We know that in all things God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. The risen Christ rules for the benefit of his church. Whatever serves in the best interest of his people, especially in their lives of faith, that's what he permits. That's what he sends. That's what he allows. This time, it was to save Peter. Maybe not next time. This time, not every time, it may be saving you from earthly peril. But whatever happens to you, you know that the Lord is in charge. Know that the Lord is watching over you and is taking care of you no matter what he allows or doesn't allow. It will be for your benefit, for your eternal welfare, and for the spiritual benefit of his people. People may make fun of you for worshiping the Lord. They may wonder why you spend your Sunday mornings here or give your money to the church. They may mock you for believing the teachings of the Bible and attack you for certain other teachings. But in the end, it doesn't matter what they think. It doesn't matter what they do. For your God is the Lord of history, who is watching over you and will rescue you when and where he seems fit. Plus, he is the Lord of death, defeated death, and gives eternal life to all who believe. God may choose to rescue you or not, but even if he doesn't, you're still better off. Because no matter what happens, through faith, you will be in heaven. Mankind can do no real harm to you because even if they kill you, you will still be in heaven, enjoying a perfect life with your Savior, free from sin, free from sorrow, free from people who sin against you. Unafraid of what the future holds. Because the Lord of history, the Lord of future, is watching over you. God may choose to rescue his people just as he rescued Peter. But have you ever thought, why did he choose to rescue Peter at this time? And what did Peter do? After Peter was saved, he went and told a group of Christians who were meeting together and prayed for him in Jerusalem, telling them how the Lord rescued him. And then we are told he left for another place. Now, we don't know for sure where Peter went at this time. The book of Acts doesn't really mention Peter much after this. Now, we know from the rest of the Bible that he eventually made his way to Antioch and then to Asia Minor to start congregations and spreading the gospel. He went there not to tell people how God rescued him from jail, but how God rescued him from the pains of eternal damnation and gave him the free gift of eternal life in heaven. Church tradition tells us that eventually Peter made his way to Rome and died about 25 years after our text. So we do what Peter told the church to do in Jerusalem. Tell this to others. Tell others what Christ has done for Peter and for the whole world by his resurrection from the dead. Tell them about the peace of the forgiveness of sins through Christ's suffering and death and the sure hope of eternal life through his resurrection. To spread the gospel. For it is that very gospel that the Holy Spirit uses to work faith into our hearts, to strengthen that faith, to remove doubts and fears, and to give us courage. That is what Christ's resurrection brings. Courage. We may not put our lives on the line like firefighters or policemen or people in the military, but we may, in the sense that we put our lives on the line for the sake of the gospel, or maybe our friendships or reputations, to spread the truth, to stick up for what is right, to tell others what God's word says. Whatever or whomever you may fear, hold fast to Christ, our risen Lord, and hold fast to his word, through which Christ rules. Come prison, come death, come what may, he is risen, and he is ruling. He will not forsake you, but he remains with you through his word, and he will continue to be with you until he comes to take you to be where he is forever. Amen. Please stand. Now the peace of God, which is ours through his resurrection, guard and keep you always. Amen. We now join in confessing our faith, using the words of the night.